Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to the From the Horse's Mouth as we look ahead to a brilliant weekend of racing and the Paddy Power Cheltenham meeting. The November meeting is front and centre. Now, we're going to look ahead to Friday, and I've got Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey to rattle through all 6 races on the card. Before I bring in the lads, as ever, a little bit of news for you. It's a massive well done. Remember, we did say we've got free tickets to the Paddy Power Gold Cup Day on Saturday. Well done to Sam Matthews, Andrew Smith and Ryan Hewitt, who all tweets about this very show, said something nice, particularly like Sam's one, where he literally just said, "I want tickets," outside of also saying, you know, it's a great show and all that sort of stuff, but I'm really doing this for free tickets. It works, Sam. Well done. You've got yourself free tickets to the Gold Cup Day on Saturday. And hope you enjoyed and back a few winners. And of course, listen to the pod later in the week. Rory and Ruby are going through that particular day. Now, Paddy's Pick 5 to celebrate. It was won at the weekend, by the way, by hundreds of people who bagged themselves, I think just over 400 quid each. It was free to play. We're back for every day at Cheltenham this week. We're going to do one separate one Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Race to be confirmed for the Saturday and Sunday, but we'll definitely have the 1:10 Cheltenham, 1:45 Cheltenham, 2:20, 2:55 and the 4 o'clock. So we're only missing out the graded novice hurdle on Friday. Okay, what else have we got to talk about? That's it, lads. Right, we're going to talk about winners Frank Hickey and Ruby Walsh. Delighted to have you for the first time since a very popular National Hunt season. Actually, speaking of the national season, we got both of you to talk about the Paddy Power Gold Cup. That's going to be live on YouTube as well. Ruby was talking about fond memories of the race, of which she has won, and Frank Hickey talking about fond memories of the race, which I can't. Well, can I give it away, Frank? What was your fond memories of the Gold Cup?
Of course, I can give it away. It's not like it's a big secret. Imperial Commander.
He was all right, wasn't he? He was all right. Is there Imperial Commander lurking this year?
I don't know. I haven't done the race yet.
Stay tuned, I think it's fair to say. Right, lads, we have got Frank's got a meeting, Ruby. He's got to present some slides in about half an hour, so we're going to have to rattle through. No chat with you, I'm afraid. Is that okay?
I think it's great. Somebody's in worse form than me, PK, so rattle on.
No one's ever in worse form.
Oh, and my God, they are. I've never heard Frank with such short answers.
I'm pretty grumpy at times, and to be fair, the last day or two have been very grumpy.
Okay.
As my Mrs. Wood attests to.
Okay, right. Ooh, this is getting dark, lads. It's like one of those.
I'm a little bit better at reading people than you, PK.
Apparently, yeah. And the fact that we had to go real quick and I sent the wrong Zoom link to the producer, is that okay, Frank? We're okay?
Yeah.
I'd say move on, PK.
Yeah.
Poking the bear, the galloping bear. All right, let's look ahead to Friday's racing at Cheltenham. The 110, I should say, is the first race on the card. It's a conditional jockey's handicap hurdle. There's a spate of Irish runners in this race, of which I would imagine a few will be top of the market. Bally Out of Destiny, Enky Flack, certainly two of those. Also, Gavin Cromwell started the season brilliantly and he's got Sweet Will in the race as well. So I'm going to go straight to you, Ruby. This one looks booked for export. Load of really interesting horses. What's your take?
There is a lot of interesting horses in it. I thought Enky Flack did really well to run down Simple Star at Perton his last start. But the interesting horse there is the third horse, the Wounded Knee, who after that run at Perth went and won at Perth again and beat Glen Ava, and then went to Cheltenham where it was third at the last meeting in a novice second in the last meeting behind Mufasa. Back in third was Music Drive. Music Drive is a rating, in the 130s thereabouts. So, you know, given having to give the Wounded Knee giving Music Drive £3 on that occasion, when you look at the rating that Music Drive has now, that's a really solid run from the Wounded Knee. And that only backs up Enky Flack's form. So Enky Flack is definitely of interest. And one maybe at a bigger price, we don't have prices, so I'm only guessing, would be Alvaro. Cracking run back at Killarney in August when he split, when Alvaro split Finest Evermore in Berkshire Royal of Willie Mullins's. Not such a good run in the stall, maybe dropping back in trip, look to get outpaced, and then disappointed at Killarney on his last start. But I think Alvaro in a handicap, big field should suit him at a price.
Yep, okay, so two for Ruby there in Enky Flack and Alvaro. Frank?
Yeah, I suppose you're looking at this race, Harry Fry and David Pipe, won it 3 times each in the last 10 years, so you're having a look at them, what they've running. JP McManus won it 4 times in the last 8 years. He had Time Flies By entered in at the 5-day stage. He's not declared. David Pipe's got Astigar, who is returning off a 20-month absence. But when you look at him, he had some good runs and bumpers in particular. He was beaten ahead in the Utoxer bumper on debut by Sawara 1. That horse rate 130, was beaten half a length in Hurdle's debut, an extra an 18 runner maiden hurdle behind the 129 rated Patroclus. 11 lengths back and forth was the now 146 rated chaser Brave Shaska. He was pulled up an extra in his next start. It was easily beaten in second hand Smart Bianchi at Plumpton, stepped up to 2.5 miles. That's an ogre, really, you know, not really good form in the context of this, but I think he had an issue considering he was off 20 months. If you go back to the, in particular, the first two runs, I think an opening mark of 118 is quite fair. And just with the pipe record in the race, he had platinum card entered as well at the 5-day stage. Thought it was interesting. He decided to go with Astigar for this race. He's in good form as well, David Pipe. 7 from 27, 26% strike rate the last couple of weeks. Obviously, remastered one last week at Aintree, and he had a nice looking horse win. I don't know, was it an officer maiden hurdle on the card at Aintree as well? So he's in decent form. So Astigar, likely to be a fair price as well, I would imagine, considering the absence.
That's the short and sharp version of Frank Hickey, Ruby Walsh. Imagine the elongated version. Astigar for Frank, I imagine, each way.
I think in future, PK, you'd have sent the wrong links week in, week out. I prefer this version.
Ruby loves a bit of grumpy Frank. Let's head on to the 145. It's the mucking brilliant Paddy Power Handicap Chase. Oh, yes. Over 2 miles, essentially. 1 mile, 7 furlongs and 199 yards, to be specific. Only 9 declared for the race. By the way, pop into a Paddy Power shop if you want to have a bet in this race. Use your Paddy Power play card and it's a free bet on the race up to a tenner. Doesn't matter what happens. Now, this is a really interesting makeup, but we kind of saw it, not quite to this level, something similar to Frodon at the weekend, Frank, in a horse in the Glancing Queen who is, you know, bordering on graded class. Bordering, she's 145, right? It's just, she still has some way to go and she's, I think she's probably going to be too good for these, but she's got obviously top weight, Frank.
I think she's not got a whole pile of hand off this. I know she looked really well handicapped in the plate at the festival when running off 140, I think. Disappointed a little bit there. Came back and won afterwards, then dropped 2 miles against the Mayors. Oh, I don't know. I'd be wanting to take her on, to be honest with you. And I'm going to take a chance in Great Diamond. Only had the 3 runs last season after a disappointing run at Wincanton on his final start in January. Was left off after that. He had been third at Ascot on reappearance off mark of 133. He was bumped up to second when the winner was found to have a banned substance in the bloods. He was fourth at Newbury off a mark of 132 then, behind Il Redotto, Numator and Ferro Bamboo. They're rated now £9, £12 and £9 higher respectively. He's only had 9 starts over fences. He's actually dropped £2 from the Ascot run and £1 from the Newbury run. Sam Thomas, I think, is a really sharp trainer. He's had a really good start to the season here. Of his last 8 runners, he's had 3 winners and 2 seconds and a third. 3 of the winners were in strong handicaps. He had Our Power, Good Risk at All, and Al Dancer. And I think he might be able to get another decent handicap winner at Cheltenham with Great Diamond.
Yeah, I forgot to give you the price. We do have a price this. The 5-2, the Glancing Queen. Frank's selection has been well backed. Grey Diamond now 4s from 11-2. Amarillo Sky for Joe Tizzard 7-2 and 7-1 Ballistic. Ruby.
I'm going to go for a horse I tipped the last day for PK when he fell at Ascot, and that's Monsieur Lecoq. He beat Grey Diamond in Ascot last year when there was a pound between them, and Grey Diamond was 5 lengths behind him, and they're still the same £5 between them. He had a cracking run in a Great World Hurdle here a couple of years back too, when he was third behind Harambe in 2019. Just in front of him was Gumball. He was third on that occasion. Now, Jane Williams's yard are not in the same form as Sam Thomas's are, but I think the fact that Mr. Lecoq has 2 runs under his belt could be helping him. Well, 1 run and he fell early, but had a good gallop around in Ascot. So I think he'll have come forward from that. He won this time last year, and I'm going to go for Monsieur Lecoq each way at 11-1 with 10-13 on his back. I'd agree with Frank a little bit in that 12 stone plus the jockey's allowances will make it hard work for the Glancing Queen.
All right, so down the bottom of the handicap for the two lads, Grey Diamond and Monsieur Lecoq each way for Ruby. A reminder, pop into a shop, use your play card, free bet in that race. That is the mucking brilliant Paddy Power Handicap Chase. Don't pronounced that incorrectly. 220 is a limited handicap chase with a small enough field there, to be fair, this one. Looking at the market, we're recording, by the way, on Wednesday afternoon, so could be plenty of changes to these prices. But Hereditary Rule has been put in the 11-4 favourite. Pull Again Green for Fergal O'Brien, Paddy Brennan, 7-2. Railway Hurricane for Gavin Cromwell, 4-1, 5-1 on Answer Prayers, and 6-1 Super 6, 8-1 Bar. Straight back to you, Ruby, for this novice handicap chase, 2.5 miles.
Yeah, look, Hereditary Rule won a hurdle race last start at Downpatrick. That was a handicap hurdle. I'm not sure how good a handicap hurdle it was. I think his rating of 137 over fences is plenty high for what he's achieved. And he's run up a good sequence through the summer, winning at Ayr in May, then Perth in June, won a hurdle race at Belliestown in July, back to Uttoxeter and Cartmel. I'd just be slightly worried about that kind of summer form coming into November. You can get away with it, Cheltenham, in October. I'm not so sure about November. I didn't think Paddy Brennan knocked Pullen Green about at Cheltenham the last day behind, found him, and he got tired from the second last. He just left him alone. Could have come home a bit closer to found on than he did. Still would have finished third, so it's irrelevant. And he's up at the top of the weights now at 11-10. But I thought the one maybe of interest is Super 6 of Nigel Twiston Davis's. Only had the one start over fences at Foss last on the 9th of October. I think that run will have brought him on considerably. He's only a five-year-old by Monmart. Had some okay runs last winter in decent enough novice hurdles. I just think he could be unexposed in a race, even though it's a novice handicap, that has plenty of exposed horses.
Fair enough. All right, so Super 6 for Ruby. Frank?
To be honest, I shouldn't say PK, well done on mucking up that race title in the last race.
How did I muck it up?
I said well done on not mucking up.
Oh, thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Very good, Frank. Yeah. Very good. I see what you did there. Sorry, I ruined your joke as well. But not
ah, very. Yeah, but typically you take you about four times to explain to put together. Like, Jesus. Anyway, we'll go on my tip. Unanswered Prayer is the one I like. Obviously, this is the race last year when my Drogo tipped up two out and Gin Online nearly went as well. And Rachel managed to hang on and came home on her own. It's a handicap now this season, though. I thought this Unanswered Prayer ran a really nice race in his reappearance in the Silver Trophy at Chepstow off a mark of 125. He was fifth beaten just over four lengths. That form has worked out really well. The winner, Knapper's Hill, won the Grade 2 Elite Hurdle at Wicanton last week. The second, Lord Battersley, won by nine lengths in his next start at Plumpton. The sixth, Masters Legacy, won at Exeter in his next start. Won the seventh, Prashima, won the Grade 2 West Yorkshire Hurdle at Weatherby in his next start. Unanswered Prayer has actually got dropped a pound for that and make his chase debut here. He has some useful form from last year as a novice hurdler. He was first past the post of Warwick, but the most second with Complete Unknown back in third. That horse went on to win the EBF final at Sandown, which is normally a good point to the future. He was second to stage star at Newbury, beat Fleming Tide at Wincanton. He was second in two of his points, so I imagine he should take defences. I think the Banbridge not running opens this race up completely. He's only going to carry 10 stone 5, I think. Chris Gordon remains fantastic form. He's 5-19, 26% strike rate the last 2 weeks. So Unanswered Prayer for me. I haven't looked at the prices now, but I imagine he's still an each way price.
Just about grimly hanging on. He's 5-1 as we record. As we record. It was sevens, but now fives. And Ruby selection Super 6 is aptly enough 6-1.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Let's move on to the race that has come in to replace the cross-country chase, because the cross-country chase is concrete at the moment. It is the Glenfarclough-sponsored Veterans Handicap Chase, over 2.5 miles. Looking at the market, you've got a few old friends in this race, as you would expect, it being a veterans race. Ballyandy is the 3-1 favourite as we record. 9-2 Magic Dancer for Kerry Lee. 5-1 Corto Rico for Tom Gretton. Native Robin, 11-2. Broken Quest is 15-2. Elegant Escape tops the weights. Came back to form last time out as 10-1, as is My Mannequin Ego and Another Emotion. All right, Frank, back to you for the veterans chase. For those who wanted a fifth day at the festival, this is the type of race we're going to get.
Oh, God, don't even talk about it. I hope I never see that day. That's a fifth day, to be honest. I think a few of these went further than 2.5 miles. And looking at the ground, it's not actually too bad, and there's no rain forecast. So I thought it'd be, good to soft at the very worst come racing on Friday. And for that reason, I'm going to side with Magic Dancer for Kerry Lee. I bolted up in April at Ludlow when last year, winning by 11 lengths. Now, do I think it's Cacamore fell three out when still in a position to challenge? I think Magic Dancer still would have won. Only got £4 for that win. He's only had the 8 start over fences despite being a 10-year-old. He only started chasing last season, so he's relatively late to the game, but he's run his race nearly every time. He's won at Cheltenham and gone close on numerous occasions previously over hurdles. I said the decent grounds with positives to the dry forecast will help him, and he's versatile regards run style. So considering a good few of these, I think 1-3 miles or softer ground, I thought he was the one that maybe conditions would suit the most.
Magic Dancer for Frank Ruby.
Yeah, I agree with Frank. I think Ballyandy possibly could come back to the trip. He was good at it in his younger days. Magic Dancer and Native Robin were the three that the distance was going to suit the rest of them most, in my opinion, would want for the bar. Maybe my man at Kaneko, but he's the real veteran in the race at 13 years of age. It's probably hard to see him winning. So I was with Frank purely siding on distance. It was a race that was substituted in instead of the cross-country race. Probably would have been better off substituted in at 3 miles and 1 furlongs. For the class of horse at that age, they might have got a bigger field. I'd say at 2.5. There's people chancing their arm, even running stairs in it. But definitely think the wrong call made on the distance of this race. It might have got a bigger field had it been run over further. And I think Magic Dancer is best placed to cope with the trip.
Okay, so 2 votes for Magic Dancer in the replacement race, the substitute race, as Ruby said, the Glenfarclas Veterans Handicap Chase. Good pot, £35,000 in it. The classiest race on Friday is undoubtedly the Ballymore Novice Hurdle, due off at 3:30. This is a Grade 2 over, unsurprisingly, the 2.5 mile trip. Looking at the market as we record on Wednesday, Hugh Briscoe for Willie Mullins and Paul Tennant is the 11-4 favourite. 11-4 also a joint favourite with We've All Been Caught. Indeed, we have. Hermes Allen for Paul Nichols is 3-1. He put up a Twitter video of the horse schooling on Wednesday if you want to check that out. Music Drive for Cornelliott. Ruby's already mentioned this horse today, 4-1, and then it's 8 Spar. Right, back to you, Ruby. It's not, and look again, I'm totally just thinking off the top of my head, this wouldn't be a race that I can remember Willie Mullins sending a huge amount of horses over. So I'm mildly surprised to see Briscoe go over.
That's two of us. I'd say I never rode a novice hurdler at this meeting for Willie Mullins. Or if I did, I can't remember it. So please, someone enlighten me if I did. He's by Dr. Dino. Good first run behind Merlin Giant. That was his second run. Sorry, he ran a Ferrios last January behind Carrick Sam. No disgrace in that run. Ran at Galway behind Merlin Giant. Then beat Royal Romeo, who was third at Cork since behind... behind John McConnell's horse, who doesn't run in this race, and was no match for Champ Kylie over 2 miles at Tipperary. I think 2 miles is just too sharp for him. He powered up the hill in Galway in September. I think the trip is ideal for him. He's in good form at home, and good to soft ground would be ideal for him. Yeah, I think he's the one they'll have to beat. Hermes Allen bolted in at Stratford in the absolute torrent downpour of rain. So he did, but Music Drive looked a little unlucky here the last day behind Mo Fasta, but I think Yael Enke is going to have to boost that form. If not Yael Enke, what's he called? Enke Flack is going to have to boost that form if Music Drive is to be considered. Although he does wear cheek pieces for the first time, Music Drive should help him. Quid pro quo, I thought was slightly disappointing in the Persian War. So yeah, I'm going to side with Hugh Briscoe, more so that I'm afraid to oppose him.
Grand Soir, just off the top of my head, I think, is that John McConnell horse? Would that be right?
Well done, PK. You're a genius.
I'm able to read out the message from producer Mark brilliantly, aren't I? Grand Soir.
Amant, I'm like your mother now. Amant isn't a word, PK. Come on.
What did I do to you, Frank? what did I do to you, Frank Hickey? Go on then. Off you go. Give us
go
a
on, then.
He's mildly offended now, Frank. I mean, I often get that vibe when he sits back in the chair and you picked him up. He is kind of offended. You'll have to send him a little text message now and the show is over. And sorry, PK. No.
Sorry about pointing out your poor use of the English language.
That's not an apology either. Oh my God.
That's like, you know, I'm sorry if you got offended type response, isn't it? You're not actually apologising, you're just saying, sorry, you felt offended. Anyway, I'll get on with my tip.
I can't wait.
A prize. Just have a little nap there while I'm rambling on. The one I thought, just from a price perspective, is collector's item. It's Burrata Royal Kahala, was second in the point to Kildare to Look Away. Of course, Look Away won the Grade 2 entry bumper last year, so that far and so well advertised. Made his debut in a bumper at Newbury last year, was a half length second to We've All Been Caught. That was last March. I think Jordan Ayler's £3 claim probably was the difference. Collector's Island travelled much the best, I thought, and just kind of got out of battle and was beaten half a length. Santos and Davis takes over from Jordan Ayler here. So they're very closely matched, and we've all been caught as 11-4. Collector's Island is 14-1. I just can't see how that price differential between them makes sense. Particularly when Collector's Island has had a run over hurdles as well. Winning at Chepstow last month when he accounted for Hugo's new horse over 2 miles in good ground. If you watch that, he was under pressure a fair bit out, but he absolutely lengthened away in the last furlong or so. He was really strong at the finish. And I think it's going to improve significantly for going up and trip. Look, he might be up against it with particularly Willie's horse. I think Music Drive might be a bit more of a Martin Pipe project myself. But yeah, I just think the price of Collector's Item is too big at 14-1. If we've all been caught, it's a genuine 11-4 shot. Collector's Item should be in around the same price. So they're probably both wrong. One's too short and one's too big.
The market may correct itself, but we'll see how we go with Collector's Item for Grumpy Frank and Ruby's Con for Eve Briscoe there. A rare runner for Willie Mullins in that race. One more race to rattle through. I might take my time here because, Frank, I know you've got a meeting to go to and I really want to annoy you. So, Ruby, take your time. Have a good look
great,
at the field.
Just great camaraderie within the Paddy Power workforce. You know, it's an outstanding... I'm disgusted that I don't work in the office with you guys.
Bit of an eagle, isn't it? And we're actually both in the office today, but I tell you, we won't be knocking. We go for a bit of lunch after this, Frank?
Well, I have that meeting from 1 to 1:30. So I'm free from 1:30 to 2, am I?
Right, no, no.
Actually, then I have another meeting from 2 to 2:30 and 2:30 to 3. So busy today. Busy.
There's a bit of niggle in him. We don't even have Matt Chapman on today. I don't know what's in the water.
For his own safety, he's better off. Yeah,
exactly. One more race to go through. The 4 o'clock. It is a handicap hurdle. Big field here. Lovely. Nicky Henderson's got the top weight with Rath Mackey. Now, I'm going to probably pronounce that wrong, and Frank will tell me all about it shortly. Nico de Bonville will ride the top weight. Don't know prices, but I would imagine he's going to make the market. Hey Johnny will also be fancy for Tom Mullins, interestingly sent over. There's a few Irish runners. You've also got Tony Martin sending one over. Philip Rothwell, who's not afraid of a winner at this particular meeting as well. Before we let Grumpy Frank in, Ruby, give us the winner of this one.
I don't know his explosive boy, a quick jack. But look, you still have to respect Tony Martin. He's been running over fences. He'd have run in the stall behind Temptation in Milan, but there have to be a deluge of cash for him to catch your interest. I think Hey Johnny is probably the one for me. Charlie Mullins claiming 7 off his back. Thought he quickened up well to win an amateur riders maiden hurdle at Clonmel in October. I thought he had a solid run in Punchestown behind One Last Tango, who won well at Wexford since. One Cool Pole went to Cheltenham and clipped heels at the top of the hill at the October meeting, which ruined his chance. So I think Hey Johnny, Contrapposto reopposes, but I don't see how Contrapposto will turn that form around. So I think Hey Johnny, who seems to be improving, could be still ahead of the handicapper in what looks a wide open contest.
Yeah, each way, definitely the play here. And there probably will be extra places. I don't know time recording, Frank. You don't know, I suppose, either?
It hasn't been confirmed. There'll definitely be at least one anyway, yeah.
Brilliant. Go on, so give us a winner.
Yeah, I kind of narrowed it down to the same two as Ruby, but went the other way. Look, this has been a tricky race the last few years. Last three winners were all 33-1. Some nice horses have won this in the last 10 years. Ruby mentioned Quick Jack. Chesterfield, a hair's breadth, if and but, why not? All useful horses won this in the last 10 years. Explosive Boy, look, he's very lightly raced for an 8-year-old. Fell and hurled Stapie of Gore in March 2019. Was off then for over 2.5 years. Big eye catcher on reappearance from third at Galway over 2 miles, 3 pound Blazing Cal and Gringo de Brel. Gringo de Brel, obviously good enough to beat Adam, he chosen over hurdles. Was third in the Grade 1 Shallow Hurdle, was second to Dicer Dynamo, albeit beaten a long way in the Grade 2 Mask of Fire. That was his last start. So that was a fair run, and Explosive Boy was never really in the heat of the battle, but he did stay on nicely. I wouldn't quite say under the radar, but it was a nice run. Back to Galway, I thought it was a decent little hurdle race over 2 miles too. And a second start off the break. Wasn't disgraced when third behind Choice of Words and Derry Linda. He'd Sam's Choice back and forth. He shaped okay then at 8.50, travelled into it, didn't really pick up and go through with it, but again, it wasn't a bad run. disappointing two handicaps, not showing home point in three chases. But the other thing you have to factor in, Tony Martin wasn't having a great season last year, and he's been much better this year. And I might have preferred if he'd run in the first race over 2.5 miles than this, but I just think off a mark of 117, he has to be well handicapped and has to have a handicap in him. So I'm going to side with Explosive Boy, but I would really expect respect Hey Johnny as well. I think he's definitely well treated too. He won nicely at Clonmel in just a second handicap start. He got £10 in Ireland. He's an extra £7 travelling tax. But still, I think 117 isn't beyond him. He beat Howie Budd in a bumper Ballinrobe. That horse obviously has gone on and won like a maiden hurdle at Leopardstown and won in America, run well in America anyway. So, yeah, Explosive Boy, and I definitely wouldn't put people off having a few Bob and Hedge on either.
Like that, the travelling tax comment. Given the trainer's modus operandi, Explosive Boy, despite what could be a big price, he's probably a win only, or am I maybe just thinking, nah, go each way? I go win only on him. He's either going to win or he's not going to finish in the frame for me.
Hasn't he had, didn't Ruby Ride Dollar and a Dream to place in this for him before? Tudor City, did Tudor City place in this as well?
Well, if I rode Tudor City, he definitely didn't win.
I don't think you rode Tudor City. I think you rode Dollar and a Dream, if I remember right. That was behind a hair breadth. And the reason the hair breadth stings so much is because I priced the race. And I was coming back from an awful long absence for Ben Pauling, and it was a huge gamble.
You had the perfect English spell Dollar and a Dream.
Is that me? Who's the perfect
English? It's
Dollar, like Dollar, Break, and Break, Dream. Is it Dollar and Dream or Dollar and a Dream?
That wouldn't be correct. English.
Juice like Marcus has been working away. Fourth on Tudor City, by the way, behind a
hair.
Yeah. So you placed. So yeah, no, he's got form of placing.
Fourth
yeah.
on Dollar and a Dream behind the hairbreadth as well.
Oh,
yes. Dollar. That's what's such
a. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So Ruby places.
130 favourite.
Yeah.
When we get much. I
wonder what I did wrong that way. Held up in last, funnily enough. Plenty to do before three out.
In a steady run race. What are you doing? This says.
Take down to take fourth last 150 yards, not reach leaders. I tracked the hairbreadth.
Did you? To be fair, he was thrown in that day, wasn't he? He was an absolute smash up job. I think he might have been 40s overnight into GSP 5, 4.
Couldn't tell you.
One of my earliest massive ricks in the job.
Are you going to price this race up, Frank?
I will do, yeah. I'll try and price this evening.
Okay. What are you going to put in? What are you going to put in, Close Explosive Boy?
I don't know. I haven't priced the race up yet.
Make it up as you go. Once you've had your meet with the CEO, look, well, fingers crossed you're able to price it up.
Come on, let me go, will you?
All right, okay, before I let you go, let's get your best bet on.
Make sure and tell the CEO it was PK that had you late and not me.
Yeah. CEO, it's Donny, my boss. Yeah, I did something. yeah, my app's Grey Diamond in the 145 in a.
Grey Diamond in the 145. Thank you very much, Frank. By the way, we'll be back later. We're looking ahead to Sunday with yourself and Fran Berry. So you go off to your meeting. Thanks very much, Frank. Grey Diamond is nap on Friday. Ruby, your best bet on Friday?
Magic Dancer.
Lovely stuff. So there's a couple of nice little naps for us. As Frank toddles off to...
We'll see you.
Bye, Frank. Bye-bye. Frank genuinely does have to go to a meeting. But I've got to keep you, Ruby. I'm going to keep you, Ruby, because, you know, you're not as busy as Frank Kiki. I want a... Let's run through Paddy's Pick 5. As I said, we've got Paddy's Pick 5 available for every day of Cheltenham this week. So race 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 are the races at Cheltenham. Starting the 110. Remind me, what was your pick in the 110? I know you were kind of half inside, but give us...
Probably for the winner, Enky Flack.
Enky Flack.
Made a good case for Astinger, so fair enough.
You did. Astigar, coming off a long absence.
David
Pipes, excellent record in the race. In the mucking brilliant Paddy Power Handicap Chase, the 145, which...
Well, Frank has napped Grey Diamond, so...
We'll stick with that.
Do you think? I think we will.
Thomas at these big meetings. He's starting to develop a bit of a reputation now. The 220 is the novice handicap chase, limited handicap chase. Small enough field here. Which one are we going for?
I thought Frank made a more compelling case for his choice than I could make for Super Six, so we'll go for unanswered prayers.
this is Ruby Walsh's selections as brought to you by Frank Kiki, or the other way around. Frank Kiki's selections as brought to you by Ruby Walsh.
Well, it was a team effort, so, you know, it pays to listen sometimes, PK.
All about the team. The Veterans Handicap Chase 255, you both went for the same one.
Magic Dancer.
Lovely stuff. We won't do the 3:30 because it's not on it. And finally, in the 4 o'clock, again, you were both kind of betwixt and between two Irish Raiders.
Yeah, but I'm going to stick my neck out here. I'm going with Hey Johnny.
Lovely. Hey, Johnny. Paddy's Pick 5, 25 grand on the pot. It was one at the weekend. We're going to do one every day for Cheltenham, which is great stuff. Oh, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. It's absolutely free to play. Do check the show notes how to get involved. Free to play. And why not have a shot at winning the whole lot, or indeed at least a share of 25 grand. Right, Ruby, you are off to the UK. You are going to be recording with Lydia Hislop, my favourite broadcaster, looking ahead to Cheltenham already, as in the festival. Watch out for that race.
We're looking at all the horses, PK, that have run lately.
Okay, so excellent. That's how it works. I clearly watch it all the time. And I'm looking forward to that. And then we'll be looking ahead to Saturday with yourself and Rory. Looking forward to that as
perfect.
Well.
Perfect. We'll talk Happy to you days. Tomorrow. So
we will talk to you tomorrow.
Have Until a good then, day, PK.
You too, Ruby. It's great to have a nice smile, Ruby.
Bye-bye.
By the way, before I toddle off into sunset, a reminder, Fridays with Fran will be live on the Paddy Power on the From the Horse Mouth podcast as well. And we'll also have, as mentioned, a Saturday preview of Cheltenham, another ITV race with Rory and Ruby. And also again on Sunday, we've got another one. We'll be looking ahead to a brilliant Sunday of racing with Fran Kickey, who hopefully will be in just as good form. And Fran Berry will be back again to look ahead to Sunday. Until then, best of luck. Take it easy.